Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson here, continuing our coverage from Super Bowl 52 along Radio Row in Minneapolis, and we have one of the all-time greats in franchise history, NFL history, B-Mitch.
What's up,
Brian Mitchell?
How you doing?
Great to have you back around here, man. So I want to start with this. I want to go back to the 2002 NFC Championship game, a dark day in Eagles history. But I just remember that opening kickoff that you had, 70 yards, and thinking that was going to be the day. The vet was rocking. You just felt after the Eagles scored on the opening touchdown that that was going to be finally the time for the Eagles.
It felt that way in the beginning, and I think what we did, we got a little bit away from game plan. We got a little conservative, I think, in offense, defense, and special teams. And I felt good all night, all morning when I got up for that game. I thought that I would have a big day. And that first kickoff was like, okay, cool, this is going to be good. John Gruden decided to squib kick the rest of the day and didn't give me opportunity. But I just felt that, you know, we had talked so much about getting home field advantage. We talked so much about, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hadn't won a game under 40 degrees. Well, it was under 40, but we forgot that we had to play the whole football game. And we didn't play it. And I think that is a game where we learned a lot from. I think I hope the franchise learned from it. It's not about just winning getting home field advantage or getting to the NFC Championship game. It's about winning the whole deal. And you look at this team, that's why I've been comparing, even in Washington, telling people, this team reminds me a lot of the 2002 season because Donovan got hurt.
Yep.
And you had to go, we ended up with the third quarterback because Coy got hurt the next week.
Exactly.
We went to San Fran. Then A.J. came in. We won five games straight, you know, and then made it to the NFC Championship game. But we didn't close the deal because I don't think in that game we had our mind focused on taking care of business. We felt that after that big kickoff and Deuce went into the end zone that it would be over.
But they kept
playing and we didn't.
So you're flashing the big ring here during Super Bowl week. Perfect time to do so. What does it take to get over the hump? What do the Eagles need to do from a mental standpoint to say it's not just good enough to get to the Super Bowl. We need to come back to Philadelphia with the
It's ultimate trophy. Sacrifice. And I think when you look at the way that they played all year from the coach, Doug Peterson, Doug has been aggressive all year, hasn't been a guy who's been a prototypical type coach where he does the exact same thing at the exact same time. You know, it may be fourth and one. He'll say, punt it. Next time, let's go for it. If it's fourth and six, people automatically think he's going to punt. He goes for it. So he's been a little unconventional in a sense, which I think keeps other coaches on their toes. As an offense, when Carson got hurt, you know, go back earlier when you saw Sproles get hurt, you know, you saw Peters get hurt, Carson gets hurt, but nobody ever sat there and was looking for him. The next guy felt like it's my opportunity, it's my time to step up and play. Defensively, Fletcher Cox and that crew, they get pressure on the quarterback with just four people. They don't have to rush all the time. So in my book, I think that when you get to this level, all the things you've done all year, you don't change anything. Too many times people get to this level and they try to become somebody else. You got to do what you're good at. Like, if I was to walk in somewhere now and I went, hey, I'm going to talk like this, I won't be able to do that very well because that's not who I am. I'm Brian, and I have to be who I am, be true to myself. And I think if that team is true to themselves, just like Carson gets hurt, they bring in Foles. And they're like, well, what do you think? He's not like – I said, he doesn't have to be Carson Wentz. He needs to be Foles. He threw seven touchdowns in one game.
Yep.
He has skills. And what he's done is come out and be a prototypical West Coast offense guy. Drop back. Get the ball out of my hand. Get into my playmaker's hand and make plays. So you look at this team. You had eight touchdowns, nine and eight, I think it was, with Aguilar, Jeffries, and Ertz.
Yep.
That's getting a lot. That's 27 touchdowns with three guys. You're getting it around so nobody can focus on just one guy. Then the running game, all three of those guys had impacts all throughout the year. They have to stick to that, not try to become one-dimensional. And a lot of times in the past, Nick would stick to a one receiver and just lock onto one receiver. Keep being a guy that spreads it around that gives him a better chance.
B-Mitch, you were an underdog in your NFL career. Watching this Eagles team, do you kind of sympathize with them a little bit? Do you kind of see yourself in that group?
I love it. You know, being a guy coming from a small school, changing my position, I was the guy who was the man from ninth grade all the way through college. I was a quarterback.
You thought you were going to be the guy the whole time.
You draft me, you move me to a kick returner, and I felt that the things I did had an impact on the game. If I give the ball to the offense on the 50, if I score a touchdown, I throw momentum on my team's side. You know, so I think that – when you don't have that, you live life with a chip on your shoulder. I still live that life with a chip on my shoulder. And what it does, like people say, does that really work? Yes, it works. If you do what it makes you do, it makes you get hyper-focused, hypersensitive to things. It makes you prepare a little bit more. It makes you study a little bit more. Instead of one night you wake up, you say, oh, I'm going to go out. No, I'm going to sit in and watch a little bit more film. It gets you on top of your game so you can go out there and produce to make sure people understand, I don't have to be a first-round pick to be successful.
Do you think that the toughness you showed in your time in Philadelphia is why that you've been endeared by Eagles fans, or why they kind of took to you?
I think when I got to Philly, what you found out, you have a blue-collar town that believes in people busting their butt and working. If you come in with an expectation or you have a certain level of talent, they expect you to get to it or very close to it. If you didn't get there, they weren't impressed with you. You know, and that's what I liked about that city. They held you accountable. A lot of cities, they just love their team just because they have the colors on. In Philadelphia, you have to prove it to them that you're what you – you got to prove that you deserve their respect. And when I got there, the same – I remember I met an older lady the first week I got there. She said, no matter what you do, you just do for us what you did against us. That said it all
there
right
go.
There. You know, and I tried my best to bring the same type of attitude I've had. I was in somebody's face after every play. I was willing to fight anybody. Because I remember Joe Gibbs told me, you know, hey, you don't get a lot of – people don't get you in a Pro Bowl, and they don't like you if you act like you're acting. I said, Coach, I don't play football to be liked. I play to win. And that's the way I tried to be in Philly, and I think I've gotten their respect. I earned their respect. You know, they didn't like me at first because I wore that burgundy and gold for a while. But I think I earned the respect over the time being there because I tried my best to play as hard as I can and reach my ability every time.
Well, most guys change teams, but you don't get the same player that
True.
They once were. Yeah. That's the problem.
And see, I came there with an attitude because I felt that Washington let me go. They say I lost a step. Well, I found that step on my way to Philly. I'll say that.
Now that you're based in Washington, mm-hmm. okay, do a lot of work in the media yep. down there in D.C., I got to ask you, what's your take on the trade, the quarterback trade?
It seems to me you just basically swap the same quarterback. You know, I think Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins is as close to each other as they could possibly be. If you really look at this deal, Kirk Cousins was going to get it paid, whether it was the Redskins or somebody else. And it seemed to me as time went on that he wasn't going to sign a long-term deal with them. So I think it was a good move for them by getting a quarterback and being committed to them. They got a guy for the next 5 years. But it ultimately will end up because when Kirk leaves, they get a third-round draft pick, a compensatory pick. So now you have two third-round picks. So basically with Alex Smith
they got to give
for
one
Kendall
back
Fuller,
to, yeah.
you know, in a sense. But I think we'll find out as you go forward because this is a $71 million guaranteed deal, supposedly, $23.5 million a year. It gives them the leeway now to go out and sign some more free agents. But when you look at the division, the Eagles are playing in the Super Bowl. The Dallas Cowboys, if they had Ezekiel Elliott all year, would have been a force, and they would have probably been a team making the playoffs. The Giants, we know they don't stay down long. So the Redskins got to really start to do something to start to build it up. So from this point on, it's not about Alex Smith to me because I think they had to add people around Kirk Cousins if they wanted to be successful. And Bruce Allen and his crew now, they better be adding some people around Alex Smith if they think they're going to compete in this division. This division now looks like it used to look back in the day.
Exactly. B-Mitch, yeah. We miss you in Philly, man.
Appreciate
I tell
it,
you, definitely.
You.
Brian Mitchell joining us here from Radio Row, continuing our coverage of Super Bowl 52. I'm Chris McPherson, and thank you for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.